The reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. It's a very familiar passage. We hear it quite a lot. Take the time to listen. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
It's good to be here this morning. It's good to see you on this Remembrance Sunday. For those of you that are visiting or this is your first time, my name's Paul. I'm one of the ministers here at the Emmanuel Church. It's good to see you. I'm after a bit of a favour to start with, which has nothing to do with my talk, but something to do with a essay that I'm trying to write or a reflection that I'm trying to write. And I've got this thing going on in my head. So if I was to say the word God to you without overthinking it, I wonder what comes into your mind. Okay? And then particularly the adults, if you've got something in your head, if you can email me your responses, that would be really helpful. I'm just reflecting on some of the choice of the language in the church at the moment and whether we fully understand a Trinitarian, or whether we communicate Trinitarian theology in our language, because we often talk about God and then we talk about Jesus in the same sentence, but somehow differencing the two. So that's nothing to do with the talk, but it would be really helpful for me just to reflect on what your thoughts are as well, because I know what my thoughts are, but I need to reflect on that for a piece of work that I've got to submit to the university. So if you could do that, that'd be really helpful. Thank you very much. Ah! Okay, who's fans of Toy Story? I am. I think they're fantastic. I think it's some of the best stuff that's come out of the Disney Pixar studios. I think it's an amazing story. Toy Story 2, in particular, who knows the story of Toy Story 2? Rachel, good, well done. And Joel. Toy Story 2, if you've not seen it, it's about the characters from Toy Story. So you've still got Woody, and you've got Buzz. But you have these new characters introduced in Toy Story 2. And they're the characters of Jessie, the cowgirl, Bullseye, the horse, which is Woody's horse, and Prospector Pete, sometimes known as Stinky Pete. You have these three new characters. Now, the story differs in this, in that you've got these three characters, Bullseye, Jessie, and Pete, who are collector's items. They're part of the original Woody's Roundup toys that were made for the television series Woody's Roundup. And they're desperately trying to find a Woody. So the guy who owns these three, Our Toys, the guy Al from Our Toys Barn, owns Woody, owns Jessie, Bullseye, and Prospector Pete. But he needs the fourth to collect the set. And once he's got all four, that set is worth an awful lot of money, and he wants to sell it as a collector's item to Japan. And he's desperately trying to find it. Now, Andy has grown up, and his mum, Andy, who's Andy is the boy who owns Woody and Buzz. He's grown up. And so his mum tells him, you need to tidy up your room. I'm sure all parents have had that conversation with teenage children. Tidy up that mess. And in particular, if you don't need it or don't want it, let's get rid of it. So Andy starts to box up things with sell in a yard sale, keep in the attic, or will keep, and it will still take place, pride of place in his room. And he starts to dispose of these things. Now, Woody, by mistake, gets dropped into the yard sale box, or ends up in the yard sale. And Al, as it happens, a twist of fate, Al comes to the yard sale and sees Woody. Now, he's been after Woody for a long time. Yeah, and Woody has been loved and played with. There's bits of him that are falling off, and if you know the story, Andy writes Andy on the bottom of the foot of Buzz and of Woody, so that he belongs to Andy. And anyway, Al gets him and thinks it's great. He takes him to a toy restorer, who polishes up his eyes and paints over the Andy on the bottom of his foot and stitches up his arm, which is slightly falling off a little bit. And he takes him back to his thing, and he's got a little case where he wants to put Woody, because he wants to sell Woody as a collective item. Now, as I was thinking today, it made me think of Jonathan Savile. He's not here today, but Jonathan Savile is a collector of Star Wars figures, isn't he? I don't know if you know that, but he collects Star Wars figures. And I just pictured Jonathan to be one person like this, gets them, and his poor kids have got to look at these boxed Star Wars figures, not being able to touch them. It must be torturous. But this is what happens in the story. You see, these toys that were designed to be played with and enjoyed by children are purely collector's items, put in a box, left on a shelf. They're not used for the thing that they were made for. They're not being appreciated at all. They're just left on a shelf. There was a really interesting article this morning. As I was reading it on the BBC News website, I thought, and I looked and I thought, that's really interesting. It's really challenging. It's quite surprising. And it's really useful for what we're about to talk about today. I don't know if you read it. In this country, there's a tradition that the political parties do not offer opposition in place in the seat where the Speaker of the House is the MP. So in Buckingham, when John Bercow, which was the neighbouring constituency where Lou and I grew up, nobody stood against John Bercow. So you went in to vote, and there was one choice on your voting slip, John Bercow. You know, are you going to pick him or? Well, that's the only choice. And of course, he's gone now. He's retired. And the new Speaker of the House, Lindsay, whatever his surname is. Sorry? Hoyle. Lindsay Hoyle. Thank you, James. Yeah, Lindsay Hoyle is standing here. He's Labour. What was interesting in this report was that there was a young lad in the constituency where Lindsay Hoyle stands as an MP, who is a young Conservative, who was being interviewed. And he says, I'm going to go and canvass, not in my constituency, because there's no point, but I will canvass for the Tory party in the surrounding constituencies for the Conservatives. He said, but when I go, he said, I will go to vote, and I will vote for Lindsay on that day, because it's really important that I exercise my democratic right. And that is my only democratic right. I mean, it's not that democratic, surely, but it is. He said, I'm going to do it. I will vote for the Labour Party, even though I canvass for the Tories, because it's democratic and people have paid a price for the democracy that I enjoy today. And if we're not careful, we can we forget the freedom that we live in today. We forget to exercise some of the democratic rights that we have, and we become complacent about our freedom. And you see, the freedom that we have is supposed to be enjoyed. The freedom that we have is not supposed to be put onto a shelf like Stinky Pete, Bullseye, Jesse and Woody and just looked at and go, oh, that's a lovely freedom. They look lovely. It's supposed to be played with and enjoyed. You know, those toys were supposed to be pulled apart. Woody's arm was supposed to be coming off and he was supposed to have Andy's name written. But that's what toys are made for. And it's probably a good job Jonathan's not here. He'll be upset by that. But that's what toys are made for. They're supposed to be enjoyed. And freedom's supposed to be enjoyed. It's supposed to be, we are supposed to live and enjoy the freedom that we have. And it made me think this morning as I read that actually, that's quite a great example. That young man who's prepared to go and vote for a political party that inherently doesn't agree with anything that they stand for. And I'm not making a political comment on that, whatever your view is. But he's prepared to do it because that's what democratic freedom looks like. And he's going to do it. He'll go and put the tick in the box. I vote for Lindsay. And I just thought that's a brilliant example. A brilliant example of the freedom that we have. Of course, I've been reflecting on this a bit recently as we looked at Remembrance. And anyone doing the Bible in a Year at the moment? Anyone up to date on the Bible in a Year? Just put your hands down if you're not, because you won't. Okay, good. For those of you that are still with me on the Bible in a Year, we're going through Hebrews in the New Testament at the moment. And the writer of Hebrews is talking about... He's evidencing why Jesus is the great high priest in the order of Melchizedek, and his sacrifice is the perfect sacrifice, the once and once only sacrifice. That Jesus does not need to be sacrificed anymore. That is all sufficient and perfect. And we know that the sacrifice that Jesus made is a perfect sacrifice. Perfect and all-sufficient. And it's made me think a little bit about remembrance as we look at remembrance this week. Because in John's Gospel, Jesus says, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. See John 15, verse 13. Anyone watch the Royal British Legion service of remembrance yesterday? Yeah? You see the family of that young paratrooper that was killed in... Afghanistan, he was killed by the Taliban, so Afghanistan. The dad was there, and I don't know if you saw the tattoo down his arm. It says John 15:13. It was covered in tattoos, but that was the one that was down on his right arm. John 15:13. Greater love hath no man this. I suspect it got put on there after his son had been killed in Afghanistan. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. It's a sacrifice. His son paid the ultimate sacrifice. And I'm not being mean, but the Bible says that there was only one perfect sacrifice, and that was Jesus. You see, the sacrifices that people have made in the past have not been, while they're honorable and noble and great, and we remember them, they're not sufficient. Why do we know that? Because we keep offering them up. The freedom that's bought is temporal. And we keep fighting. We keep going back to war. So the sacrifices that these people made years ago, they bought a freedom, but not a perfect freedom. Why? Because we keep fighting. We keep falling out with each other. And more men and more women still offer their lives today. And yet there's one perfect sacrifice, and that's Jesus. One perfect sacrifice that bought a perfect freedom. No other sacrifice needs to be made. Jesus was all sufficient. It was a perfect sacrifice. Remembrance is something that appears quite a lot in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament. But Jesus picks up on it in the Last Supper, and then Paul does in his writings here about what Jesus did. But it was a really common thing in the Old Testament. You see it. You see the pattern, and God's instructions. It's quite often, remember the things that have been. Remember what I've done in the past. Or he perhaps words it a different way. Tell your children and your children's children what has happened in the past. It's a process of remembrance. He doesn't want you to forget. He wants you to remember how good he has been. Why? Because he wants to remind you, if I have been this good then, I am going to continue to be that good now, and I will be that good in the future, because I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So remember. That's one of the reasons we share testimony in the church. We want to share testimony because we want you to know how God has been in the past with other people, so that you'll know he is good to you now and that he will be good to you in the future. It's a process of remembering, and the Bible tells, remember, remember, remember. That sounds like a November story, that one. Remember, remember. We do that, don't even, with bonfire night. I'm going to test the children. Does anyone know the rest of that? Kids only, because I know the adults will probably get this, but I suspect that's not a rhyme that's taught in our schools than it was when I was... The Italians are looking at me going, what's he talking about? Remember, remember the 5th of November. What's the rest of it, kids? Don't mumble. Gunpowder treason. Well done, Joshy. What's the rest of it? Okay, anyone got the rest of it? Adults, help them out. I see no reason why gunpowder and treason should ever be forgot. And yeah, I suspect we probably have. Yeah, remembrance is really important, and we do it quite a lot. Even in November, we remember, ironically, at this time of year, with the election going on, we remember someone trying to blow up Parliament. And somehow celebrate that. That sounds like a great idea. Let's celebrate that. What I want to encourage you today is to start living in the freedom. Do not be one of these people that takes the freedom that men and women have bought for you and put it on a shelf. Do not leave your shelf freedom alongside Stinky Pete. Don't leave it there. Enjoy the freedom that you've bought, that was bought for you. A price was paid. We forget that there has been, I think, one single year in the last, I think, about 100, where there's not been a man or a woman in our armed services that have not lost their life in service of their country. That's shocking, isn't it? 1 year. Otherwise, men and women have lost their life in service of this country. Freedom came at a cost, and it was an expensive one. So let it make a difference. Let it make a difference. Be people that live in freedom. Be people that recognize your democratic freedom that you live in. Vote, for goodness sake. And then remember this. Jesus paid the ultimate price. The ultimate price. So that your freedom was bought and paid for. He said on the cross, "It is finished." Not, "We'll do this again," or "It's nearly there," but "It is finished." It is done. It is complete. There is nothing more that needs to be done. It's finished. And I suspect as a church, sometimes we pick Jesus' freedom up and we stick it on a little shelf alongside Jesse, Stinky Pete, Bullseye. And we say, it's nice to look at, but I don't want to live in it. I don't want to play with it. I don't want to enjoy it. I'm just going to protect it as a concept, as a theory. And I know it's there. And I appreciate looking at it, but I don't actually want to play with it. And God says, no, these are things that you're supposed to be enjoying. It's a thing that you're supposed to be playing with. It's supposed to be living in the moment. So we need to start to learn to live in the freedom. What does that mean? What does it look like? Because actually that's the helpful thing. What does the freedom look like for us that Jesus bought, Jesus paid for? Well, if we look at what Jesus did on the cross, and if we look at the book of Hebrews in particular, that really helps us to understand a little bit about what Jesus was doing. If we understand what happened in the Old Testament, the priests, and thank goodness we don't have to do this nowadays because, you know, the washing bill for James and I would be huge, had to regularly sacrifice animals and sprinkle blood everywhere for themselves and for everyone else to recognize that your and my disobedience needed to be dealt with. And, you know, we don't understand, I don't think, just how bloody the temple was. There was blood everywhere because that was the nature of humanity's disobedience. And I think when you see that, it starts to reflect a little bit. It's a bit like watching The Passion of the Christ. Have anyone watched The Passion of the Christ? Yeah? It's not a cheery one. But if you watch it, you start to understand what Jesus went through. We think at Easter, we sort of picture the cross a little bit, but even then we sort of sterilize the cross and we make it look, you know, as if Jesus looking a little bit sorrowful hanging there on the cross. Well, we do, don't we? He looks a little bit sorrowful. He's wearing his little, and it's still white somehow. It maintains to be white, his little white sort of loincloth. And he hasn't got virtually a mark of blood on him. Well, you know, that's not the cross. It's not the cross that the Romans used anyway. We live in a perfect freedom. We have been restored to the Father. Jesus welcomes us into the presence of the Father. He sits at the Father's right hand and says, Dad, put in your name in that gap. You have the freedom to go into the presence of the Father. You have the freedom to live outside of rules and regulations. You have the freedom to choose. You have the freedom not to even exist within religion. Just exist in relationship. And we remember, and if we're going to take communion today, we don't normally take it on the second Sunday of the month, we take it on the third. But I wanted to do it today. Why? Because remembrance is all about this, as well as the poppy. You know, for goodness sake, church, let's be people that set an example to our community about what freedom looks like. I wonder if you've ever seen images of Paris or Normandy when the Allied forces first put their feet back onto French soil, occupied French territory, and started to push the Nazis back. Have you ever or spoken or listened to an interview about what freedom looks like? They were joyful people when they got their nation back and it was handed back to the French. The Germans were pushed out. They were happy. It was something to celebrate. They finally dug out all the champagne that they'd managed to save for the occasion when their country would finally be restored back to them. And they celebrated and they partied hard because they knew what it was to live under oppression and they knew what freedom finally felt like. And it was worth celebrating. So we as a church should be a church that models that to our community. as we remember today a freedom that we live and enjoy now in our country, but also the freedom that Jesus paid. We're going to come to an act of remembrance in a minute, and then we're going to go straight into communion. This is something to be celebrated. It is a joyful thing, okay? Do not let their sacrifice, the men and the women and Jesus, all of their sacrifices go to waste. Enjoy the freedom. Live in the freedom. Can I ask you to stand? And if you can't remember the words, they're not on the screen. They're not difficult. You just echo back at the end of this sentence, we will remember them. When I say that, you repeat back, and then we'll go into our 2 minute silence, and there'll be something up on the screen behind me. But as at 11 o'clock, as the nation today comes to a standstill, stops, and remembers. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them.